who, even with untrammeled words and many attempts at telling, could ever recount in full the blood and wounds that I now saw. Each tongue that tried would certainly fall short, because the shallowness of both our speech and intellect cannot contain so much. Were you to reassemble all the men who once, within Apulia's fateful land, had mourned their blood, shed at the Trojans' hands, as well as those who fell in a long war, where massive wounds of rings were battle spoils, even as Livy writes, who does not err, and those who felt the thrust of painful blows when they fought hard against Robert Guiscard, with all the rest whose bones are still piled up at Cetarano. Each Apulian was a traitor. And too, at Tagliacozzo, where old Alardo conquered without weapons. And then, were one to show his limb pierced through, and one his limb hacked off, that would not match the hideousness of the ninth abyss. No barrel, even though it's lost a hoop or end piece, ever gapes as one whom I saw ripped right from his chin to where we fart. His bowels hung between his legs. One saw his vitals and the miserable sack that makes of what we swallow excrement. While I was all intent on watching him, he looked at me, and with his hands, he spread his chest and said, "See how I split myself. See now how maimed Muhammad is. And he who walks and weeps before me is Ali, whose face is opened wide from chin to forelock. And here all the others whom you can see were, when alive, the sowers of dissension and scandal. And for this, they now are split. Behind us here, a devil decks us out so cruelly, replacing every one of this throng underneath the sword edge when we've made our way around the road of pain. Because our wounds have closed again before we have returned to meet his blade once more. But who are you who dawdle on this ridge, perhaps to show your going to the verdict that was pronounced on your self-accusations?" "Death has not reached him yet," my master answered. "Nor is it guilt that summons him to torment, but that he may gain full experience. I, who am dead, must guide him here below, to circle after circle throughout hell. This is as true as that I speak to you." More than 100, when they heard him, stopped within the ditch and turned to look at me, forgetful of their torture, wondering. "Then you, who will perhaps soon see the sun, tell Fratolcino to provide himself with food, for if he has no desire to join me here quickly, lest when snow besieges him, it brings the Novarese the victory that otherwise they would not find too easy." When he had raised his heel as if to go, Muhammad said these words to me, and then he set it on the ground, and off he went. Another sinner, with his throat slit through, and with his nose hacked off up to his eyebrows, and no more than a single ear remaining, had, with the others, stayed his steps in wonder. He was the first, before the rest, to open his windpipe, on the outside all blood red, and said, "O you whom guilt does not condemn, and whom, unless too close resemblance cheats me, I've seen above Italian soil, remember Pierre da Medicina, if you ever see again the gentle plain that from Vercelli slopes to Marcabo. And let the two best men of Fano know, I mean both Messer Guido and Angiolello, that if the foresight we have here is not vain, they will be cast out of their ship and drowned, weighed down with stones, near Catalica, because of a foul tyrant's treachery. Between the isles of Cyprus and Majorca, Neptune has never seen so cruel a crime committed by the pirates or the Argives. That traitor who sees only with one eye and rules the land which one who's here with me would wish his sight had never seen. We'll call Guido and Angiolello to a parley, and then we'll so arrange it that they'll need no vow or prayer to Forcara's wound, and I to him. If you would have me carry some news of you, then tell and show me who so detests the sight of Rimini. And when he set his hand upon the jaw of a companion, opening his mouth and shouting, this is he, and he speaks not. A man cast out, quenched the doubt in Caesar, insisting that the one who is prepared can only suffer harm if he delays. How dismayed and pained he seemed to me, his tongue slit in his gullet, Curia, who once was so audacious in his talk. And one who walked with both his hands hacked off, while lifting up his stumps through the dark air so that his face was hideous with blood, cried out, you will remember Mosca too, who said, alas, what's done is at an end, which was the seed of evil for the Tuscans. I added, and brought death to your own kinsmen. Then having heard me speak, grief heaped on grief, he went his way as one gone mad with sadness. But I stayed there to watch that company and saw a thing that I should be afraid to tell with no more proof than my own self, except that I am reassured by conscience, that good companion, hearten on a man beneath the breastplate of its purity. I surely saw, and it still seems I see, a trunk without a head that walked just like the others in that melancholy herd. It carried by the hair its severed head, which swayed within its hand just like a lantern. And that head looked at us and said, oh me. Out of itself, it made itself a lamp. And they were two in one, and one in two. How can that be? He knows so who decrees. When it was just below the bridge, it lifted its arm together with its head, so that its words might be more near us. Words that said, now you can see the atrocious punishment. You, who's still breathing, go to view the dead. See if there's any pain as great as this. And so that you may carry news of me, know that I am Bertram de Born, the one who gave bad counsel to the fledgling king. I made the son and father enemies. Achitophel, with his malicious urgings, did not do worse with Absalom and David. Because I severed those so joined, I carry, alas, my brain dissevered from its source, which is within my trunk. And thus in me, one sees the law of counter penalty.